Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court Podcast host Cortez Paul.
Along with my co-host Paul Mack.
I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Balls Not Court Podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Paul Mack, the usual co-host, is joining me this evening. Mr. Mack, this Tuesday evening. How goes it, sir?
March Madness, bro. We're in the thick. We got college basketball, NBA season coming down to an end. Everything kind of matters right now in sports, so it's fun. It's real fun.
There's a lot going on, too. The NFL committee's down in Orlando. They're meeting up. I've got my buddy on Twitter said the hotel. I forgot the hotel they're meeting up. But they're here. And
they're pretty close, too. They stay right over like the Gaylord Palms or something. They stay close.
I figured that it's within that whole Reddy Creek maybe area. Mm-hmm. But I know they're close. So
yeah, they're real close.
A lot of things are going down, and we'll get into the potential change that they have here. But let's get into it, man. Let's start with NCAA tourney. Been crazy so far. I can admit that I'm completely oblivious to this because lots of things going on at work. So I did kind of have to catch up with highlights. I was hoping my Kevin Carter's going to come on. He said possibly, so I'm not sure. If he's going to join us later, then yeah, kind of break it down for us. But Mr. Mack, you know, I know he played his parlays and he's got some investment into it. So talk to me, man. What's the biggest upset so far in the tourney?
The Drake curse is real, bro.
Kentucky.
The Drake curse is real. That, man, it's wild, bro. I know last week we were talking about a lot of the potentials, potential upsets, a lot of those, 12 fives and all that kind of stuff, but I don't think anybody saw a 14 beating a 3. That's crazy. Oakland knocking out Kentucky was huge. On the parlay front, 13 underdogs won. If you got the play in and that first round of games, 13 underdogs. So they said if you would have just bet all your money on if you would have put $100 on just every single underdog, you still would have made out with like almost $1,000.
Really?
Yeah, just because some of the upsets were just massive. Like Oakland was a huge underdog. Colorado was underdog against Florida. Mm-hmm. NC State won. They beat Texas Tech. Northwestern beat FAU. I mean, Yale beat Auburn. That was, tough. Tough weekend for the SEC, man. Tough weekend for your boys out there in the SEC.
Yeah, man. I told you before we got on the show here, I've been kind of barely watching college basketball, but, I do follow Florida a little bit. I'm a Gator, and I'm definitely tuned into most of college football stuff. So I was hearing good things about the Gators. And, so I'm like, okay, hey, why not? Maybe they can make a run this year. And I went ahead and put them up all the way in my bracket to the Final Four, which, hey, listen, that's a good thing about college basketball. You never know. So I want to sit here like,
oh, you made the wrong choice. Well, of course, Captain Obvious now made the wrong choice. So, of course, you can call me on it. But they was playing well. They was playing well. So, I mean, a lot of teams like, oh, Florida's got a potential chance to really make a push here. And I know that the way they called about the push off, I didn't watch the whole game, but if it comes down to that play, maybe there's some other things you can control. But nonetheless, but yeah, SEC, rough showing. Only one I really put up a fight was Texas A&M, but we'll get into that later. But yeah, every SEC team did not really have a good showing. And
they had how many? They had 1, 2, 3, 4.
Is Alabama still in it? I think Alabama's still in it.
No, Alabama's. Oh, yeah, there's more down here. Wait, 4, 5. Yeah, Alabama's still alive. Mm-hmm. So they had 5.
Which is crazy. Alabama had like a rough showing at SEC.
Tennessee, so you got Tennessee 6.
Tennessee still in there?
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, Tennessee got a good squad.
6 teams. And then you got what, 3 left?
Yeah. Yeah, and Kentucky going down in the first round. And this, honestly, bro, like John Calipari, we know the name John Calipari, and he usually, his success hinges on one and dones. And so a lot of players that go through Kentucky, freshmen, like super elite freshmen, like top 10, top 15, top 20 blue chip rated players, they don't stay there long. And this is with that continuity, you know, against some teams, I'm just probably being completely oblivious here to Oakland, but I wonder how long this team is playing together. So you get a team like that, as pretty sure they won their conference to get here, and you play a young team that's just super talented. It's funny, man. NCAA basketball is the one sport, and this tournament, it really highlights that, really showcase you can have all the talent in the world, but cohesion be talents every time. Cohesion just be talent every time. And it pinpointed that. You got one game to really prove it. So now, let's not get it twisted. This was a series. I mean, yeah, Kentucky definitely win this. Yeah, Oakland got one game, but they got enough time to be like, 7-game series, like, see ya. You know? So,
I mean, you got a guy like Jack Golke or whatever his name was. Guy made 10 threes. Straight Hooper. Shooter, bro. Shooter.
Can I say that I'm kind of pinning him for the Magic? I know he's slotting to be like a late out of the lottery. So I'm looking at a few players. He's one of them. So
I mean, he's a guy that I don't even think he's planning on going to the NBA. Like, he's just like, listen, we're just any given night we could beat anybody. He's like, I'm not a highly recruited guy. I'm not this, I'm not that. But any given night, I feel like we could beat anyone. I mean, he's a guy that only averages 13 points a game for his career, for the season. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, he's not a big scorer, but shoot or shoot, bro.
And listen, I'm all about, if you want to stay and enjoy the college experience, please do so. If you feel like you're going to be an NBA prospect and want to enjoy, you know, the college experience, the life, basketball, you know, just that whole experience being a part of a campus life, don't rush it. Enjoy it, man. These are, could be the best 4 years of your life, man. This is where you can potentially, you know, build your career, get a degree, find your wife or significant other. I mean, so, hey, to him, don't rush it. Enjoy the process. I just think that, hey, if he comes out, man, shooting as a premium, and he can make a lot of money, but nonetheless, that's a choice that you got to make when you come to the choices of going to the NBA draft and happen to make that decision of, hey, I'm enjoying the experience, or you know what, I got this much value here, and I'm gonna test the draft waters, go to the draft combine, and you can pull out and just go from there. But nah, man, it's always good to see this time around. Paul's right. March Madness. It's absolutely madness. And
I mean, I'll tell you what's crazy. Like, just touching on the Kentucky, and I know this guy kind of did, you know, his little, you know, 15 minutes of fame after that Kentucky win, but you got to guard a guy that literally shot 372 times this year and 364 of them were three pointers. This guy shot 8 2 pointers. Like, he's not looking to shoot a 2 pointer, bro.
Paul, repeat that. How many 2 pointers you shot?
8.
8.
He shot 364 threes, 372 shots total.
8. So basically what you're saying, every time you get the ball, you should blitz him.
Basically. And what's crazy too is he somehow shot 65 free throws. So that means he's getting fouled on 3 pointers.
Good Lord.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Oh,
and man. At that volume, he's a 38% 3-point shooter.
So
he can come off the bench for an NBA team. He can play for an NBA team, come off the bench.
Absolutely. Listen.
Could be a Steve Novak.
Plenty of money being a specialist. There's plenty of mind being a specialist.
It's not, you know, you're a magic guy. They had Pat Garrity.
PG, my guy. He's an assistant GM in Detroit Pistons right now. So that's my guy. So shout out to Pat Garrity. But no, you're right. If you can play that specialty role and get boards, if you can shoot the ball, you know, rough it up, you can guard the best guy. There's man, listen. Not everybody destined to be a superstar. You can make out a nice niche and get paid, man. Come on.
You have a nice long career being a specialist, bro. You have a nice, you know, 10, 12-year career. Right. Playing 20 minutes a game.
You ain't lying, Paul. All right, so I already know you probably can go with this one, but best clutch shot in the tourney.
Man, I didn't even really watch highlights, so I don't even know. I don't really know of one. Was there?
Can I give you one?
Go ahead.
Anderson Garcia, that Texas A&M buzzer to send the
Houston
to go again. That dude caught that pass. That was an NBA three, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
25 feet from the top of the 3-point line, top of the key, and just nailed it. And Houston was down. Two rotational players. One of them happened to be their star, and they got fouled out, and so this ended up being a dog fight. So Houston was on a brink of elimination, man. Houston is the overall number one seed.
Mm-hmm. So
Kevin Sampson's that dude, man. He's a good coach. That team has come in and have really good defensive players. Jarius Walker, who plays for the Indiana Pacers, was part of that program last year, and he's still trying to find his way, but they produce quality players over there. And I'm sure Case Keenum, who is a Houston alumni, was sweating bullets. But, no, that shot was insane, man, and it's what we live for. So I think the Sweet 16 is going to be great. I mean, this resulted in a loss, but, listen, to push that team – with all that talent to the brink of, you know, elimination. Kevin Sampson reaction said it all. He was just like, but this is what I appreciate about NCAA tournament. You get all this raw emotion, and it's not unscripted. It's on cue. And they came out having business, but man, Anderson Garcia, man, that's going to be a shot that's going to be seen for a while around College Station, Aggieland. So
I just like when, like, the tournament happens and you see some of these guys that you don't really get to see because they don't play a lot of televised games, or you're not watching much of the season, you know, up until towards the end, and you see these guys, like, you see this guy for NC State, this guy DJ Burns. You see the size of this guy? That's a huge big boy, bro. 6'9", 275.
Bro.
Out here just catching bodies, bro. Like, he's out here just beasting on people. And it's like, I would have never seen who he is. And now he apparently he's shooting up draft boards because he's just people are seeing him play. And like it's crazy, man.
It's the wonderful thing, man. Exposure. There's people that get on the radar because of these tournaments and it's focused on the highlight, man. Okay, you on the biggest stage. Let's see how you react. That matters, man. That matters. You're on CBS, you're on TNT, TBS, True TV.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the limelight, man. This ain't no local TV station, radio station. You're in the limelight. So
kid's a fifth year senior.
All right. Make a name.
Making the most of it, bro. Get it, big boy.
Go get paid. Go get paid. There's a lot of money behind. A lot of money behind the NBA. So, all right. Pick your final four out of the Sweet 16. Who you got? So right now, I pull up my map. I got this up here. I can get my Wi-Fi to work. But I see UConn, San Diego, Illinois, Iowa State, Houston, and Duke. Ooh, that's going to be a good one. NC State and Marquette. Marquette, sneaky good, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Purdue.
Tough conference, too, bro. Tough conference.
Purdue and Gonzaga. Creighton and Tennessee. Clemson and Arizona. North Carolina and Alabama. So you had to pick a – if you had to pick a final, and I know it's – we don't get to Elite Eight, but if you had to pick a final four out of these 16 teams, who you hedging on? So you got a map up because I can kind of get
– I got a map up. Yeah. Man, Purdue cool. is just steamrolling people right now. Jesus Christ.
Zach Edey. I think I pronounced his name right. Edey. I may be butchering his name.
You know what? I'm going to take. I'll take Purdue, North Carolina.
Purdue, North Carolina.
UConn.
All right.
And NC State.
Ah, okay.
They're kind of rolling right now. They've been on a nice little. They won like five or six in a row after winning their conference tourney. They're kind of hooping.
All right.
They've already beaten Duke before, so if Duke gets past Houston, I know that they're confident they could beat Duke. So just a matter of who wins that Duke Houston game. If Duke pulls that off, I think NC State could take them. And then even Houston, I mean, NC State's just a big team. So I'll take NC State. I'll throw an 11 in there in the final four.
Ooh, NC State, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mr. Carter, what's up, man?
Damn, is Jim Valvano fucking coaching them now or some shit? You got them going to the final four? Holy crap.
They got Big Mo on their side, pal. Big Mo.
Jimmy V's coaching. Beyond the grave.
There you go. KC, out of the Sweet 16, who you got going to the Final Four if you choose out of these four?
Man, look here. After Florida got robbed advancing in the next round, I haven't even watched no more of that shit. Like, they got robbed. The dude that – the ref that robbed them ain't even got the freaking ref no more in the tournament. So that shows you how bad of a job he did. I really haven't paid attention to it no more than that. Is North Carolina still in it?
Yes, sir.
North Carolina's still in it.
Yeah, they're going to win it all. There you go.
Gotcha.
Marquette's pretty good, too. I know Marquette's playing really good ball. I did catch some of their game. And I know NC State's on their big, gigantic tear through the tournament, even though I know their last game was pretty close. Wasn't it like they were playing another really low seed?
Oakland, baby, who just came off of over Kentucky.
Yeah, Marquette
was playing Colorado.
Yeah, Marquette played Colorado. NC State played Oakland.
Yeah. NC State. My bad. Yep, NC State.
Yeah, NC State, I know, played Oakland. And it's a weird year in college basketball. All the chalk is like choked. Like the SEC sent all them teams in there, and then all of them played like dog shit.
That's what we're just talking about. Where you got?
Yeah, it was terrible. Like we played good. It's just we couldn't play defense. And for people that don't, it wasn't that we couldn't play defense, is we were not allowed to play defense. Like, people were bitching about the game, and they were like, well, they gave up that many points. I was like, yes, because a third of their points came from the freaking free throw line. Because every time you sneezed on somebody from Colorado, they got, never mind, I don't want to look back. No, no more, no more, no more looking back, because all it does is pisses me off. But yeah,
no doubt.
I think North Carolina is just, right now, North Carolina had that had just a good, solid season, and they've got a really good, solid basketball team. So I think they'll take it in there. And they're a little older, so if they had to play Kentucky, they would definitely beat Kentucky because they're older.
Yeah. Nah, for
sure. I can't believe his dumbass said that.
What'd he say?
You didn't hear John Calipari after they lost to Oakland? He goes, they're just an older team. He goes, they're just an older team. That's why they played the way they did, and they beat us. Bitch, you are the king of one and doneers, of just recruiting a guy to play 1 year at Kentucky and then go pro. And you're going to complain about the other team being older. It's time for you to go take a nap, old man. Like, Jesus Christ.
Right. That's his whole strategy, right? Get one and done. So all these blue chips, right? So why you sit there is like they're older.
Exactly. That is legit his excuse, and every Kentucky fans finally had it. And they were like, shut up, you idiot. They were like, that's your strategy, is to go and get one and done really good ball players and then do it. But what happened, John Calipari's system and the way he'd done things before is not going to work now in this day and age in basketball because of the transfer portal and all the other stuff in the NIL. Now kids don't got to go to Kentucky, play 1 year, and then streamline it right to the NBA because they get paid to play now. So it's a different thing. The guys like John Calipari's are going to be going away because of the new system that's in place in college basketball.
So basically you're saying he's getting exposed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's time now. It's time for all them other teams that can bring in all these transfers and neatly mesh them into their team. It's not about just going recruiting and getting all these blue chip guys to come in and play a year. It's about trying to bring in some of these transfers and mesh them in together and make a good team now. And the way he does things, he's either what? It's just like Nick Saban. Now, hey, Alabama, he's like, I'm tired of that shit. I'm gone. So now it's going to be like, okay, John, are you going to adapt or are you going to pull a Nick and be like, okay, I'm gone?
Hey, good point, man. Good point. If I had to choose my Final Four, I would stay playing some good defense, but I think UConn going to get them, though. I think UConn going to get them. Marquette is coming out. This region over here, I know I see Houston and Duke there. That Houston had a little scare with me when they was playing Texas A&M like that. That was a close game. Purdue's come out their region, and I got North Carolina coming their region. So North Carolina is their chance. So we'll see. We'll see. I know Kev mentioned at the beginning like this is their chance. So, but that's a good thing about Final Four is you never know. You just never know. Shots don't fall. Rebounds are hard to come by. Certain calls go a certain way. You just don't know. So,
all right. College basketball in general has just become, it's become different. There's parity all over the place in college basketball just because of the transfer portal and these guys. Like, you'll find these guys that are playing at these lower colleges, and then all of a sudden, boom, they'll go to one of the higher up teams and score 30 points a game and help their team move on. So parity is becoming different just because of that transfer portal being opened up.
Yeah. You mentioned Arizona with Caleb Love, like UNC guy that was integral to their run a few years ago.
Well, look at Florida. Florida had three guys. Yeah. Florida had three guys transfer over. Mm-hmm. One of them being Clayton. And like he went off. So all it takes is getting a couple of guys and putting them in the right positions, and your team can get instantly better.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. All right, let's move into the NFL. Kevin, I got you got this segment here. I'm sure you got a lot to say on these few rule changes. But the first rule change, NFL is having their committee meet down here in Orlando, and they already put in a couple of rule changes here. So the first one that is being is the new kickoff format. The rule is designed to increase the number of kickoff returns per game while attempting to make the play of the game safer, negating the need to run, defend the length of the field. Instead of players trying onto the field and watch kickers sell football into the end zone, special team will line up on the five yards apart from each other at the 40 and 35-yard line lines and wait until the kick lands or is touched by one or two returners. Paul, I'm going to let you chime in on this first because I know we took NCAA talk. But what's your thought about this particular first change in the NFL? With the kickoff change.
I mean, what was once the most dynamic play in football besides like a pick six is just turning into a shit show. Like why even have it? Like the XFL, it's just weird, man. Like why not just literally just give the guy the ball at the goal line and just see how far he can get. Just have the ref hand it to him at the goal line and just have him run and see how far he can get. Cause that's what it's getting close to. I appreciate them trying to put some excitement back in the game. Cause then how exciting the kickoff can be. And it is a little boring when literally 90% of kickoffs are touchbacks or, you know, they go through the uprights on the other side. They're not even a matter of touchbacks. They're really kicked out the back of the end zone.
Pretty much.
But you know, I mean, whatever, it is what it is. I mean, it's not going to make it any more exciting. Honestly, you're just putting people in shorter distances. They're still running into each other, regardless of if they're doing it from, you know, 50 yards apart or 5 yards apart. I mean, look how beat up guys get after every snap, you know, linemen and running backs. People are still getting hurt. Doesn't matter how far apart they are. They're still huge, huge human beings that just tackle you for a living. So, you know, They're trying to do what they can, but at the end of the day, you can only change the product so much before it just doesn't feel like NFL football anymore. And like adopting a rule from, you know, Dewey Johnson's XFL is whatever.
Call that man Dewey.
but hey man, shout out Dewey Johnson. But you know, taking a move from a literally a league that failed and then got merged with another league is just crazy to me.
Bro, you stupid, bro.
You know, whatever. No, let's just take
Paul said that. Paul said that completely backwards. The XFL didn't merge. The other one merged with the XFL.
Well, who cares? Doesn't matter. Whatever it is. Either way, it's still unimportant.
Your thought about this rule kickoff, new kickoff format? What's your thought, man?
I love this shit. I watched the XFL when it happened. The kickoff was one of the more fun things. Besides the original version of the XFL, when they had the big dog pile fight for the ball to start the game off, which was insane, and somebody got hurt doing that. But no, I like the kick. I like them adapting something, trying out something new, and I actually liked it when they did it in the XFL. So, plus, you're talking about a whole different level of athlete, and these return guys, I don't think you'll see the yardage go up on it or the start and field position change anything, but we'll get a few kickoffs that we wasn't expecting to get returned for touchdowns. We'll get a few more of those, but I don't mind. I don't mind the rule change. I like the kickoff.
Me personally, because being on the kickoff, even in high school, running down the field and running somebody is a crash dummy test. It's not fun. So I kind of get why they're doing that. I do. We'll see how it works out. It's less margin for error because you do pop between those lines and make it, no one is going to catch you. Usually, sometimes the kid can come and try to trip you because he's so far behind kicking the ball. But This one is interesting. I want to see how it works out. I can admit I haven't watched much of SFL, so I'm completely oblivious to how they did it. But once I kind of saw, okay, this is how they line up, and I kind of did my homework and watched how they line up and kick it off. It is intriguing, I will say the least. I mean, I want to see how it works out.
I mean, you're going to have a bunch of professionals, literally. So you haven't seen how it goes. So literally, the kicker kicks it off, right? Mm-hmm. And then no one else can move until the returner touches it. Yep. So everyone just stands there, you know, five yards apart or whatever it is, 10 yards apart. And then once the dude catches it, then everybody just fucking runs into each other.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's literally, you just stand in place and like you set yourself up. So the moment the ball is caught, then it starts. Only the kicker can run down the field. Like the kicker kicks it off, he can run downfield, and the person going to get the ball can like search for the ball and move to pick up the ball. But once he catches it or touches it, then everybody else moves. So literally people just stand there until the ball comes down. And then
you think it'd be more interesting to let them go ahead and engage, because now you got angles you got to play, you got to think about the tackle, you got to think about, okay.
Well, no, because if you let them engage while the ball is in the air, then there's going to be no room to run. Like, they want it to have, the reason they did it this way is because they want him to have kind of, have you ever watched arena football? Mm-hmm. Like, where the wide receiver gets his running start, and then he goes and gets open. That's kind of like how they wanted to have it, where the returner comes up, and he kind of almost has a running start going at it, and the guys kind of clash. But what you got to do is you got to come up with some – and what they did in the XFL was a few guys would run, but then you had the guys – not all of them had to go and initiate with the blockers. Some of them went backwards. Because of course you don't want it. You don't want the guy to be able to break through the first line, and then he's gone. And then you have one on ones with a kicker all day long. So it's going to be a strategy type thing to where you're going to see people fall back instead of going forward. Because once he catches it, you can go forward, backwards, whichever way you want to go. So it's going to be cool to see how they kind of adapt it and how they do things.
And you can't fair catch it no more either. So you have to, if you catch it outside of the end zone, you gotta run it.
Oh.
Yep.
All right. That's a different twist. Okay. Let's see how this is going to work out. All right. So the next rule change is the hip drop tackle is now banned. They said that they kind of went back and this has been the really controversial one here. A lot of fans are really not agreeing with this rule change here. So apparently they said that leads that could begin saying last year that this inflicted injury at 25 times the rate of the average tackle, and saying that 15 times last year, nearly once a week in the sport where each team plays 17 regular games, a player that was tackled viewed the way that they call a sort of a hip drop tackle, a player missed a game due to the tackling. And then there's 230 examples of this move that they found on the 2023 tape that represented a 60% increase from the previous series in frequency. So there's a lot of players instituting this hip drop tackle and everything like that. So I want to, Kay, let's start with you, man. What's your thoughts about this from this rule change where if they get penalized, what is it? Is it 15 yards?
It's 15 yards. Yeah, it's going to be a personal foul. Here's my thing. Why don't you fucking ban people from spearing people into the freaking kneecaps? Because that's what we're about to have a lot more of. You're about to have a lot more helmet kneecap tackles, and that's going to take out a lot more people than this hip drop tackle did. How about we just put flags on everyone? Or how about we just put beepers on everyone? When they get close, they just beep, 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 and then they fall down. Then you're dead. You're down right there. Or shoot them with a paintball gun or something like that. Because this is what we're getting into. It's about to turn into flag football.
Which is a shame. It is a shame. Paul, your thoughts about this change?
I can tell you what injures more people than hip drop tackles every season, and that's turf. Get rid of turf. How about that?
Ooh.
How about we get rid of turf? How about we stop getting rid of tackles and ways to bring guys down? And how about we look at how many people get How people get hurt via non-contact turf injuries.
Figure out how to freaking grow grass up north, you idiot.
Yeah, notice how there's no plans on getting rid of turf. Nobody wants to get rid of turf because it's nice and cheap. And it's easy to maintain. All these owners can make all their money. Meanwhile, players are just blowing out Achilles and ACLs, just dropping back to pass.
Ooh. It's easy. It's easy to maintain. Watch out for that bump.
That's right. Pothole. Turf's like a fucking Florida highway.
Turf looks like I-4 on a bad rush hour.
Oh, straight my up. God. Oh, it's like one of them fucking Florida back roads where you're just driving and you have your GPS up and it's just like pothole in the next half mile, pothole the next half mile, pothole next half mile.
Some of the turf looks like that Baltimore Bridge. Oh, too soon.
Oh, no. Well, that's what's happening to quarterbacks if they don't get rid of the turf. They're just collapsing.
Yeah, they're going to just collapse.
Rest in peace to all those people that was affected by that.
Luckily, it was I say luckily. The only people that they said are missing or died and everything was the people that were working on the bridge. So 6 people. But they said because the guy called in a mayday, there was no cars on the bridge at the time that it fell.
Good. Good. Because that could have been a lot worse.
It could have been terrible. But they said as soon as he called the mayday in, the police stopped everybody from going across the bridge. And the only people that were on it were the construction crew that were working on the manhole covers. And I was like, why are there manhole covers on a bridge?
Yeah, you know, manhole covers on them turf fields.
another rule change. They are now making the tush push legal. It seemed like a lot of these rules are benefiting to the offensive side of the ball, huh?
Of course they are.
I mean, only one team Gordon was good at it. Yeah. No one else could fucking figure it out. So, I mean, and now Jason Kelce is retired, so I don't even know how good the tush push is even going to be anymore.
The tush push is legal. All right, so...
I'll do you one better. How do you feel about the NFL saying that they're going to play 2 games on Christmas this year, which is on a Wednesday?
Fuck you, NBA. We're taking your day too.
That's basically what they're saying. Like, hey, we want a piece of this. We want a piece of this pie too. And
playing on Thursday is tough enough when you have to play on a Sunday. But whoever has to play them Christmas games, they better get like a week and a half off in between them. That's tough. Yeah.
I think it came out and they said that if the people are playing on Christmas, they're going to be playing this Saturday the week before. I was like, give them the fucking week off. What are you talking about making them play the week before and then make them turn right around and play it on Wednesday too?
Right. Like give them either have them come off a bye week or give them a bye afterwards.
Hey. I just wonder, like, man, NFL some bullies. We're going to take this money, too. We're making money.
Fuck you, NBA.
Yeah, we're going to take a chain. Hey, Adam Silver just got pumped right now. His chain just got took, man.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be like, that's okay. People in Europe don't celebrate Christmas. They're the ones watching.
Hey, David Stern won't let that happen.
not David Stern.
Hey, he would have called an Italian mob and freaking out.
David Stern would have had a mafia member over at fucking Tag or Goodell's fucking house. He'd have been like, "Sorry, but you're not playing on Christmas. You're not playing on Christmas. What do you mean we're not playing on Christmas? Listen here, see that horse head in your bed? You're not playing on Christmas." I made him an offer he couldn't refuse. He's not playing on Christmas, you punks.
Oh, man. That's too funny. That is too funny. All right.
No one wants to see the Broncos on Christmas.
Oh, man. I'm sorry if you got to watch the Broncos on Christmas. I'll be watching, but nobody else shouldn't be watching. They're gonna be bad.
Yeah, but you'll have New Jersey.
Hey, keep us aside.
You're gonna have New Jerseys, and they're finally taking Shannon Sharpe's face off of things.
Hey, sponsored by Walmart.
You leave Uncle alone.
Why,
Walton and Penner Group. Yep. Hey, listen, I will say this though, we get new gear. I better get my 10% Walmart discount on that new Broncos jersey. Look out for me.
10%. Crazy they could afford new money considering they're still paying a head coach and a quarterback that don't play for you guys anymore.
Well, hey, that's why they're selling new jerseys so they can make some of that money back. They sent all the old jerseys though with P. Diddy over on his plane.
Oh my God. I done told y'all the inside scoop. Walmart made 9%. They had a 9% increase in sales, so they can afford it. Okay, let's transition.
All them Russell Wilson jerseys that are getting sent overseas right now is tough.
No, they put them on P. Diddy's fucking plane. So whenever he took off and went wherever he went, he can give them away.
Bad boy for life, baby.
Bro, he's definitely bad, and he probably was with boys. So
Netflix documentary coming soon. Did he do it?
He did.
All right, let's transition over to NBA playoff race. Boston.
Hold on, before we get into here, this is gonna be a nice little segue for you, Cortez. I've been doing a lot of thinking the last week or so since we last had a conversation. Uh-oh. And I got someone who stinks, pal.
Oh.
Been a couple weeks. I got someone who stinks, pal.
I'm sorry. You know what, Paul?
It's okay. Yep. I've been trying to be more positive. I've been going to the gym. I've been, you know, doing all these things, getting my mind right. But you know what? When something stinks, it just fucking stinks. And, you know, we were just talking about how the NFL is trying to outdo the NBA and Adam Silver. And, you know, the NBA, they have a problem. They have an identity problem. See, they want us to focus on their young talent in the league. And they want us to think about the future. Like, these guys are getting old, the LeBrons, the KDs. They're going to throw Wemby on TV as much as they possibly can. And the fact that we're about to have a conversation about a team that could potentially get to number 3 in the Eastern Conference. And they've only had one nationally televised game this season. A team that has the rookie of the year from a year ago, who is playing better than he did when he won rookie of the year a year ago. A team that gets zero recognition in the national media, a team that gets zero recognition on TV. Cortez's Orlando Magic, specifically Mr. Paolo Banchero. I feel bad for that young man because he is a hell of a basketball player. And he just doesn't get the recognition that he deserves on a team that is way overachieving, doing far better than even Cortez thought that they would do this season.
Yep.
The fact that they've only been on national TV once is a damn shame. Now, I know we'll have the potential to see them a lot in the postseason because all those games are on TV. But the fact that there are teams that have been on some of these, you know, ESPNs and TNTs, where I'm just sitting here like, this is what I have to watch. I have to literally watch these two teams play each other.
Yeah, we got to watch the Lakers play again.
You know, just if the NBA cares so much about their young talent,
they don't.
Showcase some of these guys. Like, Mr. Paolo Banchero needs to be on TV more than just living on Bally Sports. He's better than Bally Sports. No shot at Bally Sports. Sure, they're a great network. They know where Cortez sits every game. But
yes, they do, especially on the road. They were like, oh, look, there he is again.
There he is. We see him. So, I mean, shout out Bally Sports for putting my guy on TV. But, you know, TNT, ESPN. Canada. Yeah, even in Canada. Even in Canada. But someone's got to.
That was easy, though. Cortez was the only black guy there, except for the basketball players.
Oh, man. But, you know, at some point, and I hope that, you know, with these remaining weeks of the season, maybe they flex some games. But, you know, I really wanted to see the Magic be on primetime. I want to see them have a – I know they typically play at 7:30, but there's been way worse games on at 7:30 on TNT. I'm sure we can get a Magic game, flexed it on a Tuesday or a Thursday. I know we can get them on ESPN. But just the young talent of that basketball team and all those young players who are going to be in the league for a very long time, getting zero recognition, zero notoriety, unless some random person, you know, name drops them on NBA Countdown or something, where it's not even taken seriously. Someone mentions the Magic and doesn't seem like it's taken seriously. So just for me, it's just that. It's just that we need to, you know, step it up and put teams on TV that deserve to be on TV. I know the TV schedule is put out, you know, long beforehand, but why wouldn't you, if the Magic play the Spurs, if the Magic are playing the Spurs, like, why wouldn't you have the potential Rookie of the Year this year versus the Rookie of the Year last year on TV? Like, I just did your marketing for you. You didn't got to pay me. There you go. Boom. Done. So, you know, so Adam Silver, NBA, schedule makers, TV, whatever, all y'all stink, because there's some good stuff happening out here in Orlando. And unless you're, living over here, you don't have a clue. I mean, there's more Heat games on TV than there are Magic games. There's more fucking New Orleans Pelican games on TV. There's so many games that are on TV more than the Orlando Magic. And I'm not even a big Magic guy, but at some point, you know, you got to call a spade and just say that these guys, at least with their record right now, the fact that they could potentially be at number three and they've only played on national TV once is absolutely crazy. So, you know, fucking that stinks. And Paolo, Franz, those boys, fuck it. They don't need to be on TV. They're going to go ahead and they're trying to get a third seed. I respect it. They don't need to be on TV. What's going to happen is they're going to make their run and they're going to play some people in the playoffs and they're going to be on TV. People are going to see how good Paolo is. And then hopefully next year that changes. But it's been a tough season knowing that literally no one has a clue that this guy's averaging almost 23 points a game, probably, you know, 8 boards and 5 assists. Because no one has a fucking clue, because he's just, if you don't got Bally Sports Florida, you can't watch him play.
And the one game they had on national TV was because Shaq jersey retirement that they had kind of agreed to before the season. And Shaq was already going to be in the building. So, of course, that one's all there. OKC knows this, and they come out and smacked us. But, Paul, to your point, I wish the one game I wish they would have on national television, it's always the Kings and the Magic. The last 4 games against the Kings and the Magic has gone down to the wire. And we lose every single time. But that, I was at the arena for that game. And that game was
bonkers. You were told by a lot of people not to come anymore.
Listen, the games I didn't go to was like the Pistons and like all these other teams. So, of course, they're going to win against these teams. But nonetheless, like the Kings and the Magic games, De'Aaron Fox last year, he beat us on a heave, a 35-foot heave, damn near half court, to win the game. We went to double overtime. We went overtime to him just back in like a few months ago in Sacramento. If you, I am begging you, NBA schedule creators, if you see this, that Kings and Magic game needs to be on national television next year, because it's must-see TV. It is must-see TV. Those games are always close. Those games are always close. Put the Hawks, too. The Hawks always play as well.
Put the Heat game on. The thing is, one, I'm proud of me and Cortez for telling everybody the Orlando Magic, we're going to make the playoffs, and we're going to make the playoffs easily. So we can pat ourselves on the back for that one. But there are so many teams, good teams, that we don't get to see. Orlando. Yeah. I don't see Minnesota a lot, mainly because they're out there. But even when they're over here, put Minnesota on TV. God, Anthony Edwards is a walking highlight film. Right now, he is the closest thing to Michael Jordan that has stepped foot on a basketball court. Mm-hmm. I want to watch him. Like, put him on TV. Put these young. I understand why you put San Antonio on there, because Wimby, he's good. The rest of them suck. He's great. Rest of them, I don't want to fucking watch. Oklahoma City, put them on some more. The Pacers are good too. Pacers are good. All these guys that have these young superstars, I'm sick and tired of you throwing these old fucks in my face. I'm tired of it. I don't want to watch another Laker game. I don't.
How about the Phoenix Suns? How good are Phoenix Suns? They're in the play-in right now, the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, I don't want to watch them no more. I don't want to watch them no more. I'm tired of it. I'm tired. I'd rather watch – if you're going to put the Mavs on, like if you're going to want to put an older team on with some older – put the Mavs on. At least they're so dysfunctional that it makes it fun. Like you never know what Kyrie Irving's going to do. Put them on. Make it fun. But like I'm just – you need – These guys are on their last legs. They're gone. Your champ this year is going to be a younger team. Your champs this year are Boston teams like that. You're going to have a younger team that's going to win this thing. It's not going to be the old guard anymore. The young guard, it's time for them to come in, and they're going to play ball and they're going to do their thing. But damn, man, put them on TV. Because we're tired of seeing the same shit over and over and over again. I know that just the name alone draws ratings, but I don't give a shit anymore. I want to watch good basketball, not old crippled guys running up and down the court.
It's tough, too, because, like, the Magic at this point are what? Number one defensive efficiency in the league?
Yeah, they're number one.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, they don't play pretty games. They're not going to be big, high-scoring games. But
it don't matter. It don't matter. Did people scream because the Chiefs were playing defense this year? No, they gave a shit because they won. It's the same thing. It don't matter. Winning is winning no matter how you get there. I don't give a shit about pretty. I don't give a shit about all of this. The only thing the NBA is continuously doing is shoving the same teams that continuously get ratings down everyone's throat, and they won't give other people a chance to develop their style, their team. That way they can start developing and they can put them on TV more and get more ratings. You're trying to go through this old trusty thing of we can put the Lakers and Celtics on TV and the Knicks and people will still watch them no matter how fucking bad they are just because the name on the front of the jersey. It's time to stop living in that shit because there's so much parity in the NBA that you need to just put teams on TV and see what happens. Stop living off of names that are on the jersey, on the front of the jerseys, and let these young guys go out and let them show their stuff. That way you can get ratings when people like me want to see Anthony Edwards or Pablo or Chet or Wimby or any of those guys. We want to see them on there. Put them on TV. Don't keep them hidden from us because then when they get exposed, it's going to be too late because they've all been in the league for 4 years and you're still pushing LeBron being 87 years old on us.
Which he didn't play tonight.
Well, that's why it's funny because like you look at the Magic and it's like maybe they didn't get a lot of TV games because maybe people thought they were going to be a play-in team, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the way that everything's worked out with all these young teams stepping in and you know, pushing the standings, almost every game on TV involves a team that's fighting for a fucking play-in spot.
The reason they didn't get a lot of playing games, you want to know the reason, or games on national TV, is because their name is the Orlando Magic. That's why.
Yep. That's
the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic, when they had the big number one pick in Shaquille O'Neal, or when they had the big number one pick in Hardaway and all this stuff, they were on TV all the damn time. Then when that gradually went away, they went off. And then they brought in, you had your days where you had Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady. And then they started getting back up and they got on TV and then they went away. Star power is what draws them in. They haven't viewed Pablo as a star yet, so he hasn't got that into it because the name on the front of the jersey was Orlando.
Even with Dwight Howard, it took a few years for him to get on national TV scale.
Well, like when they got, you want to know when they got on it with Dwight? When he won the dunk competition.
Yep.
When he showed his personality is when he got on there. Pablo's not that guy that's going to go out there and show that personality, even though he's got some. He hasn't shown it yet, so they haven't bought into none of it yet.
Yeah.
But as soon as he goes and he can show something, this is like Anthony Edwards. Him, Anthony Edwards, and we're showing their personality at the All-Star game.
Yeah.
You have to put yourself out there a little bit more than you're comfortable to in order for your team to profit off of it and yourself to profit off of it. But right now, they didn't put them on there just because the front the name, Orlando. They didn't put them on there because of that reason right there. Now, once they're building up and they're starting to get that ball rolling, now you've got to pay some attention to them. But they're not going to go and start switching games up and all that stuff just because Orlando's rolling, because they want to make sure that you see who gets that 10th seed in the fucking West between Golden State and the Lakers. They want to make sure they push that agenda first, because that agenda is what draws ratings on their TV shows. Just like the other day, somebody said, why the fuck are we even talking about them? Why are we talking about 10? Why are we talking about 10 seed? Yeah, well, that's the only thing I've ever agreed with Paul Pierce on. Why are we talking about 10 seeds when we should be talking about Orlando? When we should be talking about Minnesota? When we should be talking about OKC and all these other guys? Why are we talking about Golden State and the Lakers, who are going to be one and unders in when we get to the playoffs?
Hey, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Good stuff, Paul. Good segment there. Completely agree.
They
do stink. And hopefully the NBA schedules does kind of shift next year. So speaking of Boston, I want to get into them. Boston is still dominating in the overall grand scheme of things. But they allow Atlanta. I don't know if y'all saw this game last night, or at least saw the highlights.
30 fucking points.
They was up by 30 points. And Atlanta, no Trae Young and other significant pieces to come back against a fully healthy Boston team and come back and win this game. Now, I'm gonna ask this to Kevin. Like, is it to a point that Boston is maybe bored because they're 57-15?
They're bored. The
best team, like, are they bored? Because, bro, that just doesn't happen every day. 30 points, you're up 30 points. Like that's a win.
It was like they all of a sudden started playing with Jaylen Brown's left hand. they just all went away. They just all went away in that game. I think Boston knows that they're there. Boston knows that they're going to be in the pole position when it comes to the East. They already know it. They know they're in the pole position. If it was me and I'm Boston, I'm telling y'all, I'm gonna be like, hey, y'all, take the shit fucking easy. We don't gotta do all that shit and everything. We need to cruise the rest of the way just so you guys stay healthy. Because if they lose one of those guys, they're screwed.
Yeah.
Because everybody else in the East is kind of getting healthy. Except for us, we're sending the G League and Bam Adebayo out there to play a game. But
yeah, y'all was competitive tonight. Then Golden State just got hot and just beat y'all.
Of course they did. It's Golden State, and now we're going to hear about the Golden State win for 4 hours on ESPN later on. But that's just the way that Boston knows, and it's like they just went lackadaisical and they didn't care the rest of the game, and Atlanta just came storming right back. It's insane. 30 freaking points.
Paul, your thoughts on that comeback from the Hawks?
Yeah, I mean, you have Atlanta, who's, you know, they're fighting for a play-in spot. They're sitting at 10 right now. So I mean, they're still playing for something. You know, Boston is they're miles ahead of the entire NBA. Not even the just Eastern. I mean, Denver's close, but I mean
51 wins. That's the next team that's close, Paul.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They're 57 and 15. 15-1 in their division. 38-8 in the conference. I mean, they're just playing these next few games because they have to. They could literally lose the rest of the games and still be the number one seed. Doesn't matter. But you know, it's just, you know, I mean, Atlanta has a nice little cushion at the 10. I mean, they're still like 5-6 games up in the loss column. So, but you know, a team like that gets streaky. They're a young team. You know, Trae Young is another guy. He doesn't get a lot of exposure for how good he really is, especially this season. And like a DeJounte Murray, you know, they're a really good basketball team. So, you know, it is what it is. But like I said, Boston to me, like the fact that we're still putting Celtic games on TV or anything like that, or we're even talking about them at this point, is just, let's just get them to the postseason, because none of these games mean anything. Like they could lose the rest of the year and still have home court. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, they clinched the number one seed like a month and a half ago. Like they're fine. But yeah, I mean, it makes for a cool story, I guess. You know, they blew a 30-point lead. Like who gives a shit? I don't care. Boston's gonna be fucking fine.
I can't believe we blew the 30-point lead. Where's my Sam Adams?
So like, and this is the thing that gets me on Twitter. They post Atlanta, as they should. This is a big accomplishment, like being 30 points down, and for where they are, they're still a threat for the play-in, and that's a big deal. And of course, Boston fans in the mention, like posting and trolling them about them, like, oh, hang the banner, and then they showing the New England Atlanta Falcons score, like, what the hell that got to do with basketball?
They don't give football.
Look, come on, man.
It's still a little chilly up there. Their brain cells still haven't kind of defrosted. So you got to forgive them. They don't even realize it's not football season now. And they're like, look, we had Tom Brady. Look at that. We came back on the Falcons. No one gives a shit. No one gives a shit anymore. Yeah, that was so long ago.
Tom Brady's gone.
That was so long ago. Both of the quarterbacks from that game are retired. Let's let it go. Let's just let it go. Second best.
It was a wicked pissa. You guys lost. It's fine. Just take it.
Yeah, just move on. You guys know what's seat, man.
The bad part is daily my opinion changes on who the worst fan base is. One time I hate Boston, the other time I hate New York fans, then I hate LA fans, then it's just a constant change. Look, fuck the Knicks as always. I don't give a shit about them. That's number one. That never changes. I can't stand them. But then between Boston and LA, I'm like, who do I fucking hate worse? Look, I love Larry Bird. I like Magic Johnson, but the rest of them, fuck off. Like, I'm just like, who do I hate worse?
I mean, Boston's why the big three became a thing. So it's all their fault that all this happened.
Well, Boston's the original big three.
That's what I'm saying. They're the ones that started this whole nonsense.
Boston started all this shit. And then it all just went to hell after that.
And now it's bouncing out, because now a lot of teams are not really going that route, and the salary cap is more stricter for it. So,
well, yeah, now you can get really good young guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and financially you have to create that flexibility and get creative with it. But
exactly.
we'll be like the Magic and get Joel Ingles.
That key piece.
Or as my friend at work, or as my Spanish friend at work calls him, Joe Ingles.
Joe, I get to go to Disney World Ingles.
Yep, Joe take Ingles. His kids. Perfect, man. All the old players come down here and retire Orlando. That doesn't change.
So. Nope. He ain't even that old, bro. He just looks like he's 50.
He looks like he's 96.
Guy's like 33 years old, bro. He's not even that old.
He's like, how old are you? I'm 27. Oh my God, why do you look like you're 82? Holy shit.
You look like you're great. In a nutshell. Hooping for you.
Never mind. He's 36. He's 36. But he's like 36.
Joe, 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 is, Joe is a 40% three-point shooter, Kev. That's you in a nutshell, bro.
Yes, Joe, but I'm reversed, though. I don't look like I'm 92 already. I look like I'm young still.
I know you like to go. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
Joe Ingles looks like a guy who's 36 with a crack addiction. Joe Ingles looks like a guy you find outside of LA Fitness that you have to sneak inside to win pickup games.
So basically, my boy hang out at Mercy Drive in Orlando, huh?
Straight up.
Basically. Yeah. He could be in the next White Man Can't Jump movie.
That's funny.
Yeah, right. Hopefully, they never make another one.
Let's move on to this next segment here. Do we still believe in the third seed Cleveland Cavaliers? They're on a slump.
Fuck no. Fuck no. I've never believed in them. Fuck no. Fuck no. Cleveland is Cleveland. Fuck. Get the fuck out of here.
Hey, man.
The only reason they're in the third seed is because the rest of the fucking league is taking breaks and half their guys are hurt and all that other shit. That's the only reason why they're number three right now. They got hot early in the season. We just beat their ass with nobody the other day.
So, yeah, y'all did. They're forcing the last games.
Bam and the G League players beat the shit out of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, beat the shit out of them. And I'm like, no, I want to play them. Let's play them. Let us play them.
You want them. Hey, listen. So here's their next seven games. They only got one home game. They're at Charlotte, home at Philly. Then they go on the West Coast road trip at Denver, at Utah, at Phoenix, at the Lakers, at the Clippers.
The Knicks are the match. Y'all are going to catch them.
The Knicks are the match going to catch them.
Yeah, the y'all are going to catch them.
They both might jump them.
Y'all both are going to jump them. Yeah.
Yeah, they might drop to five. They might drop to five. And that is a brutal – That's a brutal schedule. That's a brutal schedule, guys.
They've been way overrated from the get anyway. Like,
They got the size. I like their team. They build up. I just feel like their guard, their backcourt, too small.
Yeah, but they when they go up against anybody that's halfway decent, they get their rear end kicked. Like, they're doing the wrong thing at the wrong time of year. You know how you want to get kind of hot going into the playoff? Yeah, they're doing the complete opposite. They're going to go in a crater fall towards the end, especially when they've got to go out west. They're just going to go woo. You want to come in at least winning a few little games. Like there's some teams that are hot that all of a sudden will suck the end of the year, and then once they get into the playoffs, they just blow up. I know that personally because I watched that shit last year. But Cleveland ain't them. Cleveland ain't built like certain teams are. They once something bad happens to Cleveland, as we all know, when something bad happens to Cleveland, it just goes to shit.
Paul, your thoughts on this Cleveland stretch that's coming up?
Are you wearing a San Diego hat or San Francisco?
San Fran.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to put faith in a team where you're getting big minutes every game right now from George Niang and Sam Merrill. And you know, it's rough. Like I know, like they were better.
Are those real players?
Yeah, man. George's Niang, he's real.
Niang.
Short bus.
You know, they got. You know, obviously Donovan Mitchell's been hurt. And he's missed some time, but he's their best player by far. I mean, they were doing fine early in the year when Garland was out, when Evan Mobley was out. But now they're relying on Caris LeVert and Isaac Okoro to make plays for him, and you're getting 25 minutes a game from Sam Merrill and George Niang, and you got
Why does the Cleveland Cavaliers sound like New Edition? Like, you got LeVert, Yang. It sounds like Bobby Brown led New Edition.
You got Marcus Morris Sr. You got Craig Porter, Jr., who's now going to be suspended because apparently he was betting on himself in prop bets or something. Like, he's got something going on.
He's got.
That's a whole other thing because I don't know who's putting money on Craig Porter to do anything. So Mark knows some information. So he's either a really good basketball player who sucks on purpose, or he sucks on purpose because he sucks.
Yeah, but I'm going with that.
He's the other brother to Michael Porter Jr. I think they're related.
Yep, they are.
Which I don't know how you could have a Michael Porter Jr. and a Craig Porter Jr. Because they have different dads. I don't know how you could both be juniors. Is their dad named Michael Craig Porter? I don't know.
We're gonna have to take him to Mari.
I think Mario tells the truth.
After he named the one Michael Porter Jr., he changed his name to Craig.
Okay, got it.
That makes sense.
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, Craig's about to get fired on his day off, so Craig needs to stop. but you look at their roster, and that's not a team that I'm confident in without Donovan Mitchell to keep a three seed. That roster right now as is fucking barely a play-in team without Donovan Mitchell. So if Donovan Mitchell can get healthy, but that West Coast run they have ahead of them, and they end the year against Indiana, which could be a really big game for Indiana, depending on where they stand. So, yeah, man, this team could potentially fall pretty far if they don't get right. You know, they're pretty much gone. They pretty much peaked in high school, and they're that guy that is going to talk shit after he graduates because he owns a used car lot.
They're losing their hair at 20.
Yeah, he may have married the prom queen, but she's sitting in the trailer park barefoot right now.
With Marlboros.
Yeah, exactly. Smoking some Virginia Slims.
Can I cut in? Can I ask, how in the world is Lakers and Milwaukee game going to double overtime right now?
Holy fuck. Wasn't Milwaukee beating the shit out of them earlier?
They were. I changed this game. It's in double overtime now.
Because Doc Rivers is their head coach.
There you go. That's it.
Let's go to the next question.
There's another team I want to play right off the bat too. Give me Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Hey, Doc Rivers coaching, so you might have a chance. So
Real quick, what's the Magic's next like five games?
The Magic next five games. I can pull that up for you.
Within the next week, they could probably.
You're kind of easy.
We got Golden State. We got Golden State, the Clippers, and then on the back-to-back, we have the Memphis Grizzlies, the Portland Trail Blazers.
Okay. Mm.
And then we travel to New Orleans Pelicans and then the Charlotte Hornets.
There's one old team that doesn't get the run that it should be getting, and that's the Clippers.
Yeah,
they're the best team in LA. Why don't you talk about them instead of the Lakers?
LeBron James.
Oh, fuck that dude.
I mean, the Magic got what? The Magic's next what? Four games are at home.
Yeah. So they're currently on an 8-game homestand right now.
Oof. Damn.
Yeah. They're currently an 8-game homestand, and they're
you guys had the hard end front end of the schedule. The front end of the Magic schedule was hard as fuck. And now it's the reverse for my guys. They got to play all the hard teams at the end. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, who makes these schedules? Just slap the shit out of somebody who makes these schedules.
Orlando always play Golden State pretty well. Clippers tend to have our number. Grizzlies are tough too. But we get trouble as well. But then we go to Pelicans. That want to be tough. Hornets, we can beat. Bulls, they always play us tough. I'm thinking about going through a Rockets game, depending on what
happens. Y'all could win maybe five of those next, like, eight.
Yeah.
But if you go to Houston, you'll be on TV again.
I'm waiting to see what happened with my job and transfer situation. So we'll see.
So where the Cavs can potentially lose five of their next eight, the Magic could probably win five of their next eight. Maybe go four and seven.
Yeah.
Four and three in the next seven.
The reason Cortez is always on the TV on the road games is because the Magic are happy that they think that one of the singers from Boyz II Men is a huge fan.
That's right.
I'm guessing.
He's the one with the deep voice.
No. He's the one that's on bending knee, giving the hell.
Meanwhile, while we're here, the Knicks' next like five games is at Toronto, at San Antonio, home against the Thunder, road against Miami, home against Sacramento.
Okay, so about three games are rough.
Y'all might get the G League Heat team too.
Hey, I'm calling it now. I think it's gonna be a 3-6 matchup between the Knicks and the Heat.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
Gavin will lose based off the by the end of the first weekend of April, there, the Magic should have a 3 seed locked up based off the schedule. And how they're playing with all those home games.
Should. And then after we get on our home stretch, then we rewarded four out of five games is on the road. So
look, let's not count our chickens before they hatch. Let's just let them all lay out. Because guess what? It's the NBA. We don't know who's going to come back from 30 points down and win a game.
Very true. So last time I want to touch, listen, the hottest team in the NBA right now is the Houston Rockets. Nine straight wins, and they're throwing the play-in and really on the Warriors' tail. Warriors won tonight, and the Lakers
– stop reminding me.
Sorry, bud. And the Lakers are in a dogfight here with the – this. I didn't imagine this game would go this way. I changed this game for a reason.
They're in a deer fight.
Yeah, talk to me about the Houston Rockets, man.
It's not a dog fight. It's a deer fight. They're playing Milwaukee.
Oh, sorry. Deer fight.
Deer. There you go. Yeah,
I'm correct.
They're trying to drown the deer in a lake.
So they don't fear a deer?
No.
There ain't even lakes in Los Angeles. You figure it out.
I know. But there was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where they were originally at. Okay. No, the Rockets are just playing really good ball right now. They got to that little spot in their schedule where they could run off a few games, and they've started playing really well. Nice young group. They're trying to build the same way freaking Oklahoma City built and all that shit. Draft your guys, get them in, trade away your older dudes. I think both of them are still building off James Harden trades. So if that tells you anything, both of those teams are building off James Harden and the other one, Russell Westbrook and James Harden. So yeah, these teams are building off the same player being able to build their young roster, and it good for them. I'm glad Houston is balling right now. Absolutely. They need some good news in Houston.
Paul, your thoughts on the Rockets resurgence here?
You wouldn't have guessed it when Sengun went down, because he was probably their best player at the time. But since he has gone down, can we talk about the emergence of Jalen Green?
Oh, he took
it about how can we talk about how good that young man is? Another young man who's not on national TV, who we have no idea he exists. A guy who was drafted out of the G League. You know, showing that the system might actually work with the G League if it's done the right way.
We've already proved that.
Yeah, but like you don't see a lot of guys just like he was drafted from the G League Ignite number 2 overall in 2021. It is now the 2023-2024 season, and this guy is easily the best player on the team.
We gave a guy $90 million from the G League.
Well, you did.
He's having a good year this year, though, Kev. But no.
Okay, let me just go ahead and do this right now. Duncan Robinson has expanded his game past the 3-point line, and he is playing exceptionally well And now he's earning slightly a little bit of his $90 million.
I can't wait to send this to Cam.
See, but, he has definitely won me over, especially with the way him and Bam have kind of had this synergy now. Okay, yeah, I'm done. No more talking about Duncan.
But yeah, but no, you have the emergence of Jalen Green. You have a veteran point guard in Fred VanVleet. You got some toughness in Dylan Brooks. You know, they're a team that, you know, they're just kind of figuring it out at the right time. And this is one of those things where, like Kev was talking about earlier, it's better to get hot right now than to, you know, blow your load earlier in the season. And you know, they're a team where if they can make it into a play-in, if they can string off, you know, 11, 12 in a row, maybe drop a couple, but they're playing close games and they're, you know, they get comfortable in that play-in to where they know they have a playoff spot secure. I don't know, man. Jalen Green's really good.
No, he's taking off. And here's the Rockets' next 5 games. They're at OKC, they're at Utah versus Dallas, at Minnesota, and versus Golden State. The Warriors' next games, they're at Miami, at Orlando, at Charlotte, at San Antonio, versus Dallas. Then they go to Houston. So they got, what, all road games except Dallas? Warriors got their work cut out for them. This is not an easy schedule. And they lucky that Butler didn't play tonight.
They luckily, we sent the G League team out there.
Because Butler with them would have been a dogfight. And Warriors are already kind of small, and they're playing these teams that are coming up that's got a lot of size. San Antonio's got size. Orlando's got size. Houston got size. Dallas, with their recent acquisitions, they got size.
Mm-hmm. I think we forget, too, with, like, Houston. I mean, their head coach is Udoka, who did nothing but win when he was in Boston.
Who's coach of the year this year?
Mark Dagano from OKC Thunder. He's a candidate. Jamal Mosley, Riley should be a candidate. Chris Finch from the Timberwolves.
Whoever's coaching Boston probably.
Mike Mazzulla.
Fucking Joe Mazzulla. They're built in playoffs.
They were built in good. You can't fuck that.
And then you got Porzingis and Derek White on top of that. So
they're
good. And then they're a good team. But no, some of these younger teams, man, like seriously, like Minnesota, like Chris Finch should be deserving consideration. Mark Dagano, the coach of OKC Thunder, where they come from.
Minnesota's fun. Minnesota is just fun.
Orlando, again, here they are from next year. They had 32 wins last year. Now they're in the 40 range, so they're double-digit wins again. And as many people, as Kevin has said before, this team was not healthy last year. There's a lot of injuries. This team has been somewhat healthy this year, and you see the result. We tell
except for that one guy healthy. That's always hurt.
Yeah.
You need time to write that one off. Just write the check and go on out.
Hey, move our nose. But no, that's a good question. That's why I look for being coach of the year. But now, we got any other NBA random notes we're going to think of?
I want to know, did y'all ever do that thing that Paul kept talking about? Why didn't y'all haven't y'all done it?
I haven't put it together. I'm bad. I've been busy. But yeah, man, it's going to be an interesting, you know, next 2 weeks in the NBA. Still a lot of stuff to kind of play out. I mean, obviously there are the definites in the both conferences. Like obviously, you know, 1, 2, and 3 are pretty much cemented in the West. Unless the Nuggets just
not me, though.
Crumble. Well, one is, but yeah, I mean, shit. I mean, the Magic are 4 games behind Milwaukee. I mean, anything can happen, man. The Knicks are right there. There could be some real shuffling going on. I mean, some of these teams are an injury or something away from their whole season going upside down.
As Kevin mentioned, I'm literally taking one game at a time.
Exactly. No. The one bad part you can always do is look ahead.
As I get thinking about the possibility, I'm just like, okay, go.
That's why, as much as you hate it, as much as you hate to do it, like, you got to give some credit to the Knicks right now. I mean, they are probably one of the least healthy teams.
Yeah, fuck them.
We're not
healthy at all whatsoever. I don't want to hear about nobody's health. We are not healthy.
This isn't about you, Kevin. You're seven. You're sitting at seven right now. You're fine.
Yeah, at all. But we haven't been healthy all year long. Oh yeah, we're in the position that we always want to be in.
Right, exactly. The Knicks are overachieving right now. I mean, I know they had a good year last year, but you know, really seeing the emergence and leadership of Jalen Brunson. I mean, he's another guy that, you know, he gets a lot of flack for his size and all this different stuff. And obviously, you know, having Tom Thibodeau as a head coach, he's gonna run these guys into the ground. I think he, over like a 2-game stretch, he had two guys play the entire 48 minutes. So I mean, he's doing Thibodeau things, but you gotta realize you have an OG Anunoby who, when he first got there, the Knicks went on a tear, and he hasn't played in like the last 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it's been. Julius Randle's been out.
Yeah, because your coach running half to death.
No, his elbow hurts. His elbow hurts. That's nothing to do with his knees.
Yeah, he's running. He's using his arms. The elbow popped right out of place because he was running so damn much.
And obviously, Julius Randle got hurt, you know, against the Heat way back when. So, I mean, it's interesting because they're a team that could, if they can keep their momentum going, then they can get healthy. Obviously, like most people, and you have Philly down there too without Joel Embiid. Like, Joel Embiid might come back, and they could potentially get out of the play-in depending on when he comes back. So there's still a lot to happen.
Wow. You just skip us and go right to Philly. Fuck Philly. That's another one I can't stand.
But, Paul, y'all made good moves, too. Y'all had Alex Burton. Y'all had Bogdan Bogdanovic, too, from the Pistons. So y'all had some shooting. So y'all made some good movements on y'all part to kind of shore up the roster while y'all dealing with these injuries. So it is on their part that y'all made some good moves to put y'all in this success while y'all dealing with injuries. Knicks got a top five defense too, man, and they're physical. The Heat are physical too, even though they got a lot of size in them as well too. So getting one of those two teams in playoffs, and my team Orlando, they're particularly why we got length. Orlando played too much finesse for me. There's a few players that play physical, Jalen Suggs, and sometimes Wendell Carter Jr., Jonathan Isaac, but everybody else plays finesse. Paolo, as big as he is, sometimes he plays finesse. So you get to play with some of these two teams like the Heat and the Knicks that play physical basketball, they're going to punch you in the mouth. You got to be ready for it.
Did you just say the Heat? You get mad at me when I say the Magics.
Well, I was trying to make a point. I said too fast. Uh-huh. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. The Magics.
No. Every time we play the Heat and the Knicks this year, the teams, y'all really have out physical us. So
it's because Orlando hasn't got that mentality yet. Orlando's still young, so when you punch them, they haven't got that punch back yet. They're still trying to develop their counter punches. So when they can just come out and run and finesse everybody, yeah, they're good. But if they come in and they get the guys that kind of throw the jabs and get a little physical, it kind of withers down. But that's just from being young. That's just from being a young team.
Teddy Atlas over here with the boxing commentary.
They'll get the physical. Sorry, I'm just really amped up for that great fight we're going to have July 20th. But make sure you have your Netflix account ready for that one. But no, they're just young. Once they develop everything, they get over that being gun shy when somebody, you know how, perfect example, Chicago. Always got bullied by Detroit. Once they figured out how to get that physicality, the bully was no longer the bully. The bully was stepping up to a guy that was the same size as the bully who was punching right back. It's that's how Orlando has got to start being. They got to get over that, okay, these guys are pushing us around. What are we going to do about it? And they got to be like, okay, now we start pushing back. And that just comes with age as well. That comes with just getting set up, getting being in the league for a little bit, getting your team set up the right way, and also having one dude that's not afraid to go, you know what? Fuck you, and get in the other person's face.
Yep. Nah, 100%. So, good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Anything else we need to add before we wrap this bad boy up? I think we're covered. Kevin, you man in a while. You got anything else you want to add, sir?
No. I'm fine. I think I got enough off my chest.
I'm good. Good deal. All right, guys. Make sure y'all stay tuned for us. Next week, we'll cover some of the Sweet 16 coverage. We'll go into
Sweet Tea. We will cover Sweet Tea. I like that.
We'll cover Sweet Tea. We'll go into the NBA playoffs, and we'll see there or any leading up to it. And then also, if there's any other rule change that the NFL going to drop on us, we'll try to cover that next week, too. So, draft talk should be coming around the corner. So, we'll be here for the NFL draft as well. I know Kevin is ready for his all-day affair and get ready. I'm pretty sure you already quit some days off of work, didn't you?
No, hell fuck no. I'll go to that thing at night. We don't pick until 17. I ain't really worried about it this year. It's going to be a corner or a wide receiver. Pick which one, and there you go. I'm just still geeked that we got Armick Armstead. That was my favorite pickup the Jaguars did this offseason. Happy about it.
Matt Jones?
Hell fuck no.
The hometown kid, not Matt Jones?
No, fuck no. I'm happy about the center we have, and we got Armstead from the 49ers. Those are the two big gigantic things I am happy about. Gabe Davis, cool. Glad we got Gabe Davis. Like Gabe Davis. Stay healthy, yep. Gabe Davis. That's all I give a shit about. He just needs to stay healthy. He stays healthy, it'll be fine.
Good pick.
But other than that, that Armstead pickup though. That's huge.
Fair enough. All right. Well, good stuff, guys. We'll go.
Not Mac Jones. Definitely not Mac Jones.
Make sure you follow the podcast page on Twitter at where we call it nowadays. It's at BLC Podcast. You also can follow us on YouTube, BLC Podcast, our Facebook that's in the handle below here. Give a like, comment, shout there. TikTok also be on our C Podcast. Even though I think that might be going away. Because every time I try to upload music to a certain song, like I try to upload my Toronto trip and I try to play like a Drake song, they don't have any Drake songs available. So TikTok must be going away here soon.
No,
so
they're just beefing with Drake too. It's fine.
Everybody's beefing with Drake. You can't put a P. Diddy song on anything unless you were under the age of 13. Damn.
Bad boy for life, baby.
Oh, sorry.
Mr. Kevin Carr, give me your Twitter at name, sir.
How long until they find out that he had something to do with Biggie and Tupac's death? Like they're gonna find something out at one of his mansions that he was the cause. Oh, mine's at Kevin C 2415.
Hey, distracting tactics. I'm sure what happened. Paul.
Kevin's gonna end up missing here by the time this podcast is over. He's gonna be just someone's gonna come get him.
I know.
You can catch me on X at @the_Paul_Mac and on Instagram at @thepaulmac520. Also, real quick plug. I want to shout out, if you're into sports and basketball and all that stuff, my man Brian's got a NBA exclusive podcast, the We Got Next podcast. So we're going to try to link up with them in the future here. Get a nice little NBA talk as the playoffs come around the corner. And then, as always, shout out to the homie Saul and the Get It How You Live podcast. I'm sure he'll want to come on here and talk about his New York Knicks here in the next few weeks. So,
lots of
collabs with all the other local podcasters. So, shout out to everybody out there doing their thing.
Oh, God, not Saul and the damn Knicks.
should be a beautiful banter. So maybe get the Hardwood Nation on here to balance out the Heat and Knicks fans. How about?
Oh, that? Thank God! Yes, yeah. I need help.
That will be a strong moderation for my point. I have to moderate my ass off on that.
Look, I am just glad we didn't do this podcast yesterday, or when I would have did my P. Diddy talk, they would have strapped me to the bridge in Baltimore.
Oh, brother. Oh, yeah, you're dark, man.
You're trying to be the guy in the middle of that show would just be like trying to do a Trump debate. You're going to be just trying to get yourself in there.
If that's the case, I'm going to do Trump voice. I'm going to be like, you're wrong. Wrong. False news. Fake news. Fake news.
Follow me at @_CP on X, Twitter, wherever we call it nowadays.
Fake news.
Make sure you get the podcast on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify. As Kevin is on the show, what he usually say.
Wherever you listen to us before, you can go back there and listen to it again.
Plug in a Court Podcast, best podcast ever. Listen to it. Wherever you get your podcasts.
Fake news.
All time.
Fake news.
Speaking of Kevin Carter, Paul Cortez, Paul Ball, my Court Podcast. Enjoy your evening, everybody.